update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
There's more here. We are watching the video, or the we're listening to the apology of Diddy. This has been not the real voice of Diddy. This is the AI version of Diddy, but we wanted to try and create and make it, I guess, you know, as authentic as it could be. I thought it would sound better coming from the sound of Diddy versus me reading it aloud. And there's more in this. Let's continue. This is a letter that Diddy has sent to Judge Subramanian prior to his sentencing. Basically, you know, it's an ask for grace letter. Let's continue.
Lost in my journey, lost in the drugs and the excess. My downfall was rooted in my selfishness. I have been humbled and broken to my core. Jail is designed to break you mentally, physically, and spiritually. Over the past year, there have been so many times that I wanted to give up. There have been some days I thought I would be better. Off dead, the old me died in jail, and a new version of me was reborn. Prison would change you or kill you. I choose to live. Every day since my incarceration, as difficult as my circumstances currently are, I have made the best of my time by reading books, writing, working out, or in therapy, obtaining the tools and knowledge to deal with my past drug abuse and anger issues. I have been putting in the work and working diligently to become the best version of myself, to ensure that I never make the same mistakes again. I realize that I am in a situation where no amount of money, power, or fame can save me. Only God can save me. My grandmother used to teach me that God makes no mistakes and that everything he does is for your good. I believe that a bad situation can be used for good. Although this situation has been the hardest and darkest time in my life, good things have come out of my incarceration. For starters, I am now sober for the first time in 25 years. I have been trying my best to deal with my drug abuse and anger issues and take accountability as well as positive steps towards healing. One of the most beautiful things I have experienced is being asked by my fellow inmates to teach and mentor. They wanted to learn what I did to become a successful businessman. I was inspired by their hunger and desire to learn information in order to not only set goals, but achieve any goal or dream that their hearts desire. I started teaching a six-week program called Free Game, title given by my fellow inmates, which I was able to have approved and sanctioned by the Bureau of Prisons, BOP. I don't just teach about my success. I also teach about my mistakes and failures. It has truly been a blessing to do something positive in a negative situation. It has been beautiful to see the newfound hope in my fellow inmates' eyes. The most shocking thing was to see the unity and the peace this class has produced. As you are probably aware, jails and prisons are segregated places. However, in our class, we have Black, Spanish, White, and Asian all together in one room, learning and working together. We even have an interpreter for the Spanish-speaking inmates. The biggest miracle that I've seen with this class is all of the gangs, such as Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Trinitarios, and 18th Streets in one room working together. I am also proud to say that since this class started, there have been no fights in our unit. This class has also helped me in my time of need and despair. Being able to do something good for others has also given me much needed hope. God bless me with this opportunity to help others, and I will continue to do so. I ask you for mercy today, not only for my sake, but for the sake of my children. God, bless me with 7 beautiful children, 3 sons and 4 daughters. Their names are Quincy, Justin, Christian, Chance, Jesse, Delia, and the newest addition, a 2-year-old daughter, Love. 4 of my children lost their mother, Kim Porter, as she tragically passed away in 2018. I am their only parent. I have failed my children as a father. My father was murdered when I was 3 years old, so I know firsthand what it is to not have a father. More than anything, I just want the opportunity to return home and be the father that they need and deserve. God also blessed me with the greatest mother in the world. My mother sacrificed her life and dreams to provide for me and my younger sister, Keisha. She worked 3 jobs to make sure we had a roof over our heads, clothes on our backs, and the best education. My mother is now 84 years old, and she recently had brain surgery despite her own health challenges. She attended my trial every day. I have always been her primary caregiver. It breaks my heart that I put myself in this situation, and for the first time, I am unable to be there for my mother when she needs me most. As I write you this letter, I am scared to death, scared to spend another second away from my mother and my children. I no longer care about the money or the fame. There is nothing more important to me than my family. I understand that one factor the court has to consider is deterrence. Deterrence for me and for others to ensure that no one follows in my footsteps and makes the same mistakes.
Let's pause for a second there.
I have been locked in one room.
I have thoughts.
I just want to say, before you get to your thoughts, brilliance on using the classical music, Tony. And also, I know the font has something to do with the video game that you use, but it's also The Price is Right. So I'm totally getting into this today.
And also, Price is Right. Yeah, I didn't even, I grabbed it. I literally made it at like 11:30 last night. When I saw the letter come out, I'm like, my mind was spinning. I'm like, what can we create for the show? And I was thinking, well, we could turn this into like a rap song. And I'm like, I don't want to stay up till 3. So this is what you got. You got the classical music and Diddy reading it. And then I thought the irony is we're going to have to show, you know, the horrible things he did. It's all in full context, because I think if you're gonna make this apology, okay, well, let's see what you're apologizing for in real time, so we don't never forget exactly what's going on. I want to say this because I want to, Stacey, I want to hear your thoughts, but I want to say this is a thought I had earlier and it completely kept eluding me, but I remembered it. I said, no redemption. Here's the one way. If he was in some sort of horrific accident and completely lost all memory and consciousness of who he was, and it was like literally a total reset, like that's it. That's like just like when that happens, like you don't know your name, you don't remember anything about your past, like literally you're relearning life. That's the only way I could see it being some sort of reset. But even then, I'd question genetics a bit too, of how much that plays a role in his decision making. That's beyond his control. Where they even the reset wouldn't work. It's pre-programmed. That's it. That's the one scenario.
Okay.
Stacey?
All right. So, Tony, much to your dismay, I tend to go back to my personal experiences. But Diddy brought up his mother. And I was just in a position probably 2.5 months ago where I confronted somebody who did some really shitty, horrible things. And I said, what would your mother think if she saw this? And I'm sure she saw it from heaven. And the look was just like,
that's what you said. I'm sure she saw
yes.
it from heaven.
Yes.
That's great.
And for those of you who followed along in my story, you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, like, you're damn right.
Didn't think of that.
You know.
Was he surprised by the comment or was he like actually feeling it like, oh, I didn't think like she is. She might be watching me.
I don't know. I don't know where it came from because it was going on for a year and a half, 2 years. And mom died a year ago. So, yeah. You know, she was around for some of it. She yeah. was up there for some of it. So she saw
I
some of it.
I feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah. I knew it but I wanted to throw that out there. So maybe the next time things wouldn't work so well because like mom's watching, you know. But yeah, I want Diddy's mom to sit and watch this video of the hallway. Like yeah. She needs to see this if she hasn't.
She must be so proud.
So they're exactly. all, you know, we saw her before. I'm not impressed yeah. with her. So I'm listening to this. It's, you know, I love we made all the comments before we listened to and heard the second half because they're all still spot on, right? Accurate. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'll add to it is he's doing a really good job. I think his lawyer did a really good job. I don't think he wrote this, of using every single lever of influence he possibly could. So we heard the beginning, a little bit of remorse for beating people. Then we have a little bit of remorse for this. And now we're using another lever of influence called sympathy. Sympathy is a great lever of influence on people. Now be sympathetic. Don't take me away from my kids. I'm the only person to have. Yeah. Don't take me away from my mother. She's all that I have. I'm all that she has.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so for the benefit of society at large, you need to release me because I am such a good influence on my kids and my mother. I can right? do this great. There's no way I'd live in hell.
Can you yeah. imagine the judge sitting there just going, really, really, seriously?
Well, maybe. So that's what, you know, before I started really diving into true crime and us covering such really bad systems of justice, I would say, yeah, never in a million years would a judge buy off any of this. But you never know these days, man. You know, mm-hmm. when you see a prosecution do such a poor job in this case, I don't put it past anyone.
Well, here's what the judge has said so far.
Perfect way up for you.
The judge says Combs' defense narrative is flatly inconsistent with both reality and his accepting responsibility.
Good. There you go.
So that's how the letter's landing as of right now. The full quote is, in general, the narrative that he and his attorneys have put forth that this case involves nothing more than adults paying for time, not sex, is flatly inconsistent with both reality and his accepting responsibility.
Yeah.
The judge, does not seem to be taking this lightly and good.
Yeah, can think about this too. So we're going back to that letter. What's the only things he's covering in the letter? The things he actually you saw videos for.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk about all the accusing stuff and all the what people are saying about baby oil, about lacing baby oil, about trafficking children. He didn't cover any of that stuff in there because he only covered stuff that actually people saw video for.
He didn't cover caught
anything.
With.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Nah, yeah. I don't believe a line. I'm glad the judge said that. Good.
The prosecutor is saying today is about accountability and justice, accountability for the defendant who committed serious federal crimes repeatedly over the course of 15 years, and justice for the public, including for the victims whose lives have been shattered by the defendant's acts of abuse and exploitation. This isn't just a case about freak-offs or hotel nights, she continued. It's a case with real victims who have suffered real harm at the hands of the defendant. It's about a man who did horrible things to other people to satisfy his own sexual gratification.
There it is.
And here's another thing, too. I think.
And by the way, he has a speaking engagement booked next week. Combs does. Continue on.
Yeah, freaking hell. And here's another tragedy if they don't throw everything they can at him. And that's because – think about the amazing, because as you're reading that, Tony, I'm thinking about, you know, all these young kids and upcoming amazing artists that thought this is the way that I have to do it to be successful. When this comes to light, how many great artists that would otherwise be these amazing people in the world say, you know what? Screw that. I'm not getting into this world. I mean, just think about it's just related to politics too. You see all the horrendous garbage that they're doing in politics right now. You know, so these great leaders that could really change the world mm-hmm. in course of everything are saying, no, that's not for me, man, because these people are nuts. And so if they don't do something about guys like Diddy, and in Diddy's case in particular, what amazing talent will we miss out on? Because parents won't let their kids get into this. I wouldn't want my kids to get into this. I mean, see what I mean? I said the ripple effect, if you don't do justice here, like is saying in the what the prosecutor's saying, you know, we could really be missing out on a lot. So I really hope it sends a powerful message that, hey, we can right the wrong of this industry, so we can be benefited by these amazing people that do have this great talent, because they do make the world a better place when they share it.
Well, all these people that are coming out saying, you know, don't let him out. I fear for my safety. I mean,
that's a problem.
That's a problem. There's all these human beings that now feel this way. And it doesn't matter that Sean wrote a letter and says, oh, I'm sorry. You know, God did this for me and I started a class and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Great. now these people are fearful for their safety and their lives because of his previous pattern of behavior that really doesn't seem to be stopping here. This letter, if anything, just confirms the narcissism continues on. It doesn't. I get nothing out of this letter that makes me feel like, okay, he's grounded in reality. It's saying what he knows people want to hear.
Yeah,
I brought this up with Eric Faddis. Was it yesterday? The days are all blurring together for me.
I think so. Yeah,
but the people, you know, who are outside, who have dealt with him, who are concerned that he's going to get out, they're freaking terrified right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are terrified. They are living under this umbrella of terror. And what happens if he gets out? Are they going to be protected from him? And even with him in prison, he has such a wide net of people around him mm-hmm. that these people may be in harm's way, regardless if he's in prison or not.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, there's just so much. There's a little bit more to the letter. Let's listen to the last piece of Diddy's apology, you know, plea for leniency letter to the judge.
With 25 other incarcerated people sharing the same one room, in this room that I share, there are no windows. There is no natural clean air. There is no sunlight. And we all live in one room. We eat, sleep, use the toilet, take showers, and prepare meals all in the same room. The conditions that my actions have placed me in are inhumane. I don't tell you this for pity or sympathy. I'm simply sharing my truth and the truth of my fellow incarcerated people. We have no clean drinking water, and we boil our drinking water. We all share one washing machine, which is broken. I am surrounded by drugs and live every day with the constant threat of being stabbed or losing my life. Again, I'm not expecting pity or sympathy, but my time at MDC has changed me forever. Prior to being in jail, I took care of and was present for my family. Being in jail, and because of my conduct, I lost the ability to care for my mother. I lost the ability to effectively raise and support my children. I have missed my three daughters' proms and graduations. I have missed taking one of my daughters to college. I have lost the freedom to teach my two-year-old how to speak, dance, play, or be there to console her when she falls down or has a nightmare. I started from nothing and worked hard to earn everything I had. But because of my conduct, I have lost all of my businesses. I have lost my career. I lost the charter schools that I started, and I have destroyed my reputation and stained the reputation of those that worked for me. I lost my being present with my family. Between of all of my losses and lessons, I can state for a fact that I will never be in another criminal courtroom again, and I do not believe any other person would do anything similar from fear of similar punishment. If you give me a chance, I would like the opportunity to share my story with people to prevent at least one person from making the mistakes that I've made. I can't change the past, but I can change the future. I know that God put me here to transform me. Since incarceration, I have gone through a spiritual reset. I'm on a journey that will take time and hard work. I'm proud to say I'm working harder than I ever have before. I'm committed to the journey of remaining a drug-free, non-violent, and peaceful person. I thank God that I'm stronger, wiser, clean, clear, and sober. God makes note of mistakes. I realize that this trial has received a tremendous amount of global press, and Your Honor may be inclined to make an example out of me. I would ask Your Honor to make me an example of what a person can do if afforded a second chance. If you allow me to go home to my family, I promise I will not let you down and I will make you proud. Today, I humbly ask you for another chance to be a better father, another chance to be a better son, another chance to be a better leader in my community, and another chance to live a better life. I am writing this not to gain any sympathy or pity. This experience is simply the truth of my existence and has changed my life forever, and I will never commit a crime again. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sean Combs.
Nope.
Well,
nope.
It must
nope.
be true.
Nope.
If he says it,
nope.
it must be true.
Nope. Nope.
Did any of those things ever really matter to him, though? The charter schools, the laundry list of things he listed off, or were they all just a means to feed his narcissistic urges to control people and places and everything around him? Was there truly good behind any of that? I guess is the question. Or was it all the ruse? Was it all the curtain for the public to see? Look how great he is. Look what a wonderful philanthropist he is. He does this, he does that. And it's, you know, it's nothing off of his back. He's got enough money, you know, to rule a freaking country. So, the public thinks that. But behind the curtain, it's, you know, freak off land.
Yeah, I looked it up because, you know, it's what I do. The first thing he ever did when he started, like that charter school and stuff, the first reviews that came in on it were decent, but it fell off pretty rapidly after that, because what happened was he would set it up, he showed up, and then he just kept handing stuff off. So everything he did from that point on was just all about image management, just like this. I mean, if anyone's ever wondering how to put into practice persuasion influence from Robert Cialdini's book Influence, this is what it is. And everything out of here is textbook influence and persuasion intended for an effect of sympathy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many times is he going to throw down family? How many is he going to do this? You know, but he never did it before in life. And Stacey, to your point, I saw you do the same thing too about surrounded by drugs in jail. Yep. See, I told you. No, I watch a lot on TikTok. A lot of
apparently,
TikTok
yeah.
my question is, what they have access to boil their own water?
That's frightening.
So they do have. Depends on the facility. They have their own small kitchen spaces that if you get stuff from the commissary, you can actually, you know, prepare or have your own food. They're allowed to bring very very limited things back. From the mess halls, they can't bring fruit or anything like that back because actually people will make jail room hooch from fermenting it. So there's a lot of stuff that they're not allowed to have that's contraband. But again, you pay the people off, you can get contraband in because obviously there's drugs there.
I would do the boiling the water was like, well, wouldn't that be a weapon?
It sounds like a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I've never heard of boiling water, but you know,
that's what I'm wondering. Like, are they you have access to boiling water? Like, that would be a pretty powerful weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to throw that at somebody.
He's got special privileges because he's Diddy.
So I'm saying I don't believe anything that he says.
I mean, I guess that might just be the answer. Is like it's just
or he saw it once or heard about it once, and it becomes. I mean, that's what we do in life. So very rarely do people actually lie like complete fabrication. What typically people do is they do massive exaggerations and they fill in gaps with stories that they'll believe. And we were talking about this earlier. I think he totally believes. That he's empathetic because he redefines what empathy is. Empathy is where I give money to someone. That is actually different than what actually empathy is, but that's what he's defined it as. And so I think he's just one of those people that's redefined life according to his own dictionary.
Well, not talking about the victims as much as I need him to. He's talking about himself. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
The victims were that first 3-minute block, Stacey. Yeah. Was that not enough for you?
Apparently not. I am so needy.
His two victims are his kids and his mother. You know, they're the ones who are really suffering without him. His poor daughters that had to go to prom without him. I'm like, good. Maybe we can save some other kids by keeping him the hell away from them.
It's the last few people in his orbit that like will give him the time of day is probably really what it is. What kind of person would believe this letter? I mean, what's the profile of an individual who hears this thing and goes, damn, he's telling the truth.
Someone who wants to. It really comes down to that. It's someone who wants to. And there's always people that want to. And there's always people that are conspiracy theory people. I mean, how many times, it doesn't matter how solid a case is, doesn't matter how solid evidence and data, you know, ranks up against people, there's people that are never going to believe it. I've had people reach out to me after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, said that shooter that shot him, you know, that assassin, that 21, 20-year-old kid. Oh, no, it's not him. It's a frame. And I'm what? Mm-hmm. What? Everything. I've never seen anything more solid in recent years where someone, it was him. I mean, it's his DNA. It's his rifle. It's his grandfather's rifle. The parents turned him in voluntarily.
He's on camera.
Yeah. Oh, it's not him, man. And I'm like, see what I mean? So if you don't want to believe something, it's amazing the stories our brains will make up. And so there will be people that believe this. There are people that think he shouldn't even have to said it because he's completely innocent anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, and I guess then what is the driver of wanting to believe it?
Oh, because to not believe. So if you invested a lot of time and energy into Diddy, his music, his lifestyle, wanting to be like Diddy. I mean, think about this. There's a lot of people. I don't know how recently, but, you know, when he's in his heyday, and it goes with anyone. If you are so vested in trying to be like someone and to follow in those footsteps and be successful and have money and have influence, we'll say influence and not power and manipulation, and have all these skills that you coveted in him, then you're going to want to continue to believe that, because to invalidate what your whole ideal was for where you want to go in life would be invalidating your self-identity. We as human beings do not like to do that, because as much as he'd have to reinvent himself in order to be on that path of redemption, those that follow him and think that that's the way to go would have to do the same thing to their own identity.
Yeah.
And so, and that's why he's got people sign up for his class in prison. It's not because, you know, they found him to be a Mother Teresa in there, like all of a sudden we're going to reform our lives. They're like, all right, I kind of screwed it up my way. He seemed to have it all figured out. Let's follow him for a while, unless he doesn't get off. I mean, so it'll be really interesting.
It's going to be fascinating to see the next chapter, because I mean, at some point he is going to get out, you know, if he survives, which I don't think he's not going to. But there's going to be another chapter. It's going to be I feel like it's going to be a train wreck in some way, shape or form. It's just how bad of a train wreck is it going to be and how many people are going to be damaged by it? That's the question.
He's not spiritual enough for me for reform yet. You know, I mean, you have the Malcolm X's that go into prison and come out a completely different human being because that they have they had a firm message of social reform. And so think about that, too. The people we see that have gone into prison that come out different are the ones that actually had a message of trying to be social justice warriors. And then they had these aha moments of figuring out, wow, that wasn't the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And so they have this spiritual awakening inside. And then it's years and years of figuring out how to manifest that into a better way to communicate that. For social justice. Diddy is not a social justice warrior. He's a warrior for himself. And so there's a big difference. And so he's trying to align himself as a social justice warrior framework of this reformation. But really, he's in there because he was all about him, not because he was doing violence for the sake of social justice and rationalizing, as we've seen in these other cases. No, he went in there because he was completely serving himself and no one else.
Yeah.
He's just sorry he got caught.
Yep.
Yeah.
Words I've used repeatedly in the last year. Yeah, you're just sorry you got caught. You're not sorry for your actions.
Stacey.
And that letter is just a very narcissistic way of trying to spin it and put a little icing on it and make everybody go, ain't this delicious? Not going to happen. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. As always, thank you so much for joining us. And Monday, we will be talking more about, unless something blows up over the weekend, and I hope to God it doesn't. I will be talking about the judge and the sheriff, Mickey Steins.
Yeah.
And some new revelations there, which is kind of fascinating, from some new reporting from Brian Enten of News Nation.
Yeah, but Brian Enten, he's just good.
Robin, thank you so much.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.